Hi, my name is Tracy Coral, and welcome to Indispensable People. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, pastor, and missionary, and I believe that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given, no matter their ability. Over 65 million Americans have a disability. That's 25% of the population. However, over 80% of them are not inside the walls of our church. Let's dive into those hard topics, biblical foundations, perceptions, and world-changing ideas. Hey, this is Tracy, and I am so glad that you are joining me for episode 3 of Indispensable People, where we get to share some stories and some testimonies of some great times that we have had, some funny times that we have had, some hard times that we have had as people in ministry, and even before that, as a caregiver, a workshop director, a mom, and so many other things that I am excited to share with you today. So if you've been listening from the very beginning, you know that in the first episode, I mentioned something about being locked out of the house whenever I was a caregiver for the two gentlemen. And to protect the names of the innocent, we're going to call them Mick and Ron. Well, Mick and Ron have lived in this home for 16 years since their mom passed with no paid help. Just friends from their church checking in on them from time to time or providing a meal. And so part of my job when I went as a caregiver to their home was to help them clean out. These men were in their 50s and 60s, and they literally had clothing in their home from when they were in their teens. They also grew up in the effects of the Depression era, where when you found something on sale, you bought it because you had to stock up in case you didn't have the opportunity to purchase it later. And so the outside of their home, they had an enclosed porch that was filled with cereal boxes. And that's just not even the beginning of it. And so part of my job was to go in there and help them to clean out and to purge and to do all the things that they had not done in years. Now, both gentlemen had intellectual disabilities and also had epilepsy, but they were very, very well functioning in the community. And one of the brothers was able to take the bus system and go wherever he needed to go, did a very good job of taking care of his brother. And so we are in a very difficult situation because he's done all the caretaking up until this point, the one brother. And so he kind of looked at me like an adversary, right? So I'm coming in. I'm not trying to tell him what to do. We're talking things through. I'm making some suggestions. I'm talking about how things could be if they, you know, got rid of a few things or cleaned some things up, and how could I help them? And so we had gone through a good couple of days of getting rid of some old clothes that didn't fit. And Ron agreed and said, you know, that's so silly to have these clothes. They don't even fit us anymore. I haven't worn that since such and such year, you know. And so third day in, I think they'd had it because I tried to get in the house and they pretended like they were not home. They did not answer that door, nothing. So one very interesting thing, in the time that I was there, they had met my husband. And they were some pretty old school kind of guys where, you know, the man makes the decisions and the woman is just supposed to be the helper, right? And so I was like, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to get in this house? How are we going to make things right? And so I called my husband and I said, hey, I need you to call Mick and Ron and talk to them about letting me in the house because they're not letting me in the house. I think they've had enough with this whole cleaning business. And so my husband called and a minute later the door was opened. And so I was locked out, but I was let in and we gave them a break for a little while till we went back to the cleaning situation. And so that was one of my very first experiences working in the field of individuals with disabilities. But thankfully, Mick and Ron have some pretty great hearts. And so although they had kind of had it in the moment, we became very, very close. And they really became a big part of my family. And so that's just one funny to start this off with some stories, some testimonies and things like that. But I know what you're doing. You're just thinking if you've worked in this field or you have a child or maybe you serve in your church ministry, you've already got ideas and stories that are running through your head. But now I'm going to switch off to a little bit more of a, I would say more of a powerful story. So I had no intentions whatsoever to be in ministry. I was an early childhood education teacher by the time this current experience that I'm going to tell you about happened. And so I had zero plan of being a part of ministry. Now, I volunteered. I was a youth leader, and I did all different kinds of things at my church, but nothing on the level that I would be serving as a leader in a bigger role. And so when the directors of the ministry I currently serve with came to my church and asked for people to go to their summer camp, I was super excited at the thought, but terrified all at the same time because I like my safe box. And so eventually, long story short, I ended up there. My husband and I both went and we were serving. And I was paired with a lady who had cerebral palsy, and she did not have an intellectual disability at all. And she spoke to me and shared her testimony partway through the week that just was awe-inspiring because she lives a very difficult life in the sense that all the physical things that most people can do, she needs assistance with. So she needs someone to feed her, bathe her, clothe her, whatever you would consider she needs assistance with. And so she said to me one day while we were at dinner, she said, "Hey, would you like to read my testimony?" And so she had it on her phone. She had written it out because it is very hard to also understand her speech. And so she's like, "I wrote it. You can read it." And I did. And one of the things that she shared in there was simply, there are people in the CP community that question me all the time. They say, if your God is real, then why doesn't he heal you? And from that moment, she said, she answered that question like this. She said, "My God will heal me. It might be the day that I stand up on this earth and walk out of my wheelchair, or it might be the day that I walk into heaven, but he has a story to tell through my life, and I'm going to let him tell it." And I thought, oh my, what a testimony of faith and just hope and endurance to a difficult life. People do not make it easy to live that life, let alone the struggles that you carry personally with your care needs and things like that. I have never been so inspired, not because she has a disability, but simply because of her faith through her struggles. The strong foundation of belief that she stands in is just beyond anything that I could ever have dreamed or hoped for, but then just gave me that, for a lack of a better term, gumption to go, listen, I need to hold that kind of faith. I need to be able to stand up and say the same and believe that God will do what he can do when he knows it's the right time for it, because his timing will always be better than mine. So now let's go back to a funny but great story. So another year that I went to serve at the summer camp, I was given a folder that had four ladies' names in it that I would be caregiving for the week. And I went back to my cabin so that when the families came for drop-off, I would be there. I could ask them questions and really just hopefully help them to feel comfortable for leaving their loved one with me for the week. And so some of the ladies quickly came in. They had been there before. This was kind of old hat to them. So no big deal there. And then my last person came, and Mom and Dad said, listen, she's never been away from home. She has never been away from us for an extended period of time. And she is nonverbal, so she's not going to communicate with you aside from a head shake, yes or no, and maybe minimal verbal use as maybe a yes or a no. So, okay, not a big deal. We can make this work. There are lots of ways to communicate outside of a verbal communication. And so we went on with our week. And throughout the week, this friend held onto my hand to go from activity to activity to service to all those kinds of things. And so this is a twofold story. It's a funny story and then a really, really awesome God story, God moment. Where so we're Thursday night of camp, so it's the last night in service, and I am just sitting with my girls hanging out until service starts, and I was praying and I was asking God, you know, for this particular girl who cannot tell me what she's thinking, what she's learning, how she feels about being there. You know, God, I have no idea what she's learned this week. I have no idea what she's received. And so I go up to the altar at the end because they made an altar call and asked leadership to come up to pray. And so I did that, and then others responded. And so I was praying with someone, and then I turned, and this particular girl that I had been with that was nonverbal, away from her parents for the first time, came up to me. And my CIT, which is a caregiver in training, it's a teenager who serves, was standing behind her going, I didn't bring her. Now, if you remember, I mentioned that I led her from activity to activity. We held hands. That's how we did that all week. And I started to pray with her and tell her how much God loved her and how much, you know, he meant to her and how precious she was to him. And for the first time all week, she looked me square in the eyes and she smiled. And I just knew at that moment that was God's confirmation of him saying, I've got this. I've got her. You don't have to worry about what she knows, what she's learned, how this week has gone for her. I've got this. I've got this. So that is the great God moment that we had. But then the next day, we're getting ready. We're all packed up. We're getting ready for pickup. And one of the other ladies all week long had made this joke. Every single time somebody went in the bathroom, she would say, don't fall in. And so one of the ladies went in to use the restroom. And my friend, who doesn't use her words, all week long goes, don't fall in. And she started chuckling like she knew. It was hilarious. And so I was going, oh no, she's going to go home with some new words and Mom and Dad are not going to be so happy. And so they picked her up and I told them and they were like, hey, she talked. We'll take it. But that's my don't fall in story. One of my favorites, I think. So when you go to the restroom, just think, don't fall in. So another story I'll share with you is one that happened at one of our respite nights. We have a gentleman, he's been coming for years to respite, and we always have a service as a part of respite. And so there is worship, there's a message, there's an altar call response, all in that time. And on that particular day, this gentleman responded to the altar call, and he's typically a very nervous, fidgety kind of guy. And so I asked him when he came up, I said, so-and-so, can I put my hand on you and pray? And he said, yes. And so I put my hand on him and I started to pray, and you could just feel the tension leave his body, like he had just relaxed. And that was probably one of the just tangible ways that we have seen God work through prayer. But one of the key things that I want to say, and this is not a training episode, this is not a giving a whole lot of advice episode, but I think because I asked him for permission, that gave him an ability to feel safe and feel comfortable. And then the power of God was able to easily move in and through him. But on that same note, I'm going to share with you another story of an altar response that just is really beyond anything that I could have ever dreamed of. And so I had our first year of our summer camp here in Ohio, we had a lady come who had, she had attended one of the other getaways that our ministry does. And so she was very familiar with it and called and asked if we were going to have a talent show. And so we were like, sure, we'll have a talent show. And so she wanted to know because she wanted some time to prepare a mini sermon to share, a 5-minute sermon with the group. And so she did that. She came prepared with a PowerPoint, the whole deal. And on that particular day, we're getting everybody's media, songs they want to use, all that kind of stuff. And it was so funny because we're like, oh no, where'd she go? We need her stuff. And what had happened was that she felt like God had given her a different message. And so she went back to her dorm, her cabin with her caregiver to write that message. And on that same day, as a part of the talent show, we had invited a group called Blue Spectrum, who is actually a band that is comprised of all people with autism. Well, on that day, only one of the band members could make it, but he agreed to come and be our like intermission entertainment. And so on that day, they came, his parents came with him, they set up, they participated, they hung out until the talent show was over. And on the way out, he made a comment about this particular lady's sermon. And he said to my husband, he said, that was a message I could chew on all week. And so my husband and him struck up a conversation, started talking about church. And he had said that, you know, they had stopped going to church, that the church that they had gone to when their son was younger didn't accept him anymore, didn't have a place for him. And so at one point, the parents were even in ministry of some type. And so Dwayne said, hey, what if I connect you with a church I think is close to you? And the dad said, sure. And he said, I'm going to give that pastor a call and let him know that you guys are coming. And so we invited them to stay the rest of the day. It turned into lots of conversations. But anyway, they ended up going to the church. They sat next to the pastor. They were invited to sit next to the pastor and got a chance to meet with the pastor and talk, shared about his talent. So he has a very incredible guitar. He, I'm going to miss the word because I'm not musical, but he could hear it and then he could play it. He didn't need any music notes, no nothing to do. I think perfect pitch, I believe. So the next week that family came back to that church again, and the son was on stage playing as a part of the worship team. Third Sunday comes, and the pastor releases a video to the congregation about how God had brought that family to their church at just the right time when their son was diagnosed with autism. And what I didn't say to you is this mom is like huge in the disability community. She's spoken at the State House. She's had all kinds of influence with disability rights and all kinds of stuff. She has lived this life and walked this out in her past because her son is now in his 20s. And so it was like the perfect timing, perfect answer, just a resource and a support and a kindness and a compassion. And not only that, to show that, you know, autism is not a death sentence. Their son lives a very full life. He has a girlfriend. He plays in a band. Dad is the band manager that gets them shows. They've played at blues festivals and all kinds of things. but just, it was just so timely and so perfect. And it all stemmed back from Sandy, who had a message. God spoke to her. She changed the message. And that message spoke to someone's heart that really changed the course of not only that family's life, but also that pastor and his family's life. God is just so good like that. So why do we share these stories? Why do we talk about this? First of all, we share the funny, we share the inspiring, we share the God moments, because these are people. They're humans. They're not some scary thing we don't understand. They are not beyond our reach. They are not valueless. They are God's creation. They are his design. They are worth his time, our time, and they are valuable because of the God who created them. I shared stories that meant about nothing with Ron and Mick and being locked out of the house. But you know what that showed? Over time, I was able to build trust with them, and they were able to feel comfortable with me, and we were able to become a family. I shared the story about my friend who has cerebral palsy, and that person, I've shared earlier in other episodes that she's now graduated with a journalism degree and married. God has a plan and a purpose through her life, and he is certainly using it, and he is certainly showing it. I shared with you the funny of my friend who came to camp for the first time, who we did life together, lived it out, and there wasn't anything but a move of God on her life, of where he confirmed that it does not matter the ability or the disability, that God can speak through and to anyone he chooses. Then I share this story with you because this takes it even further with Sandy, where we talk about the impact that a life of a person with a disability can have on people who don't have disabilities. Sometimes people with disabilities are completely discounted. It's not even considered that they could serve, that they could be co-laborers with us in Christ. But they can, and they are. And sometimes we have to open an opportunity. Somebody could have downplayed it. They could have been like, it's a talent show. Why is she rewriting a message? It's not that big of a deal. What, you know, it could have been all of those things. But Sandy was obedient to God, and her obedience changed the course of several lives in that 5-minute sermon. And that's why we do this. That's why we share these stories. That's why the testimonies, because these are real people with real things that happen, and that God is in their life. He ordained them for those things before we even knew them. And that is being a part of disability ministry. Do I know everything about disability ministry? Do I have all the answers? Have I done everything perfectly? I have absolutely not. But we are going to continue this conversation so that people of all abilities can have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in him, and serve him with the gifts that he has given them. So join us on our next episode 4, where we're going to talk about putting people in boxes.